I'm watching for emails from.
We are live.
I'm looking for emails from our other participants. I see we have a couple attendees coming in, and I want to make sure that they're. John,
Erica is in the wrong place.
Yeah, we will. We'll promote Erica. I've promoted her.
Yes, if you recognize a name in the attendee list after we've started broadcasting, they may be sent to attendees, but should be panelists. Please say the name and let me know to promote them, and I will promote them for you.
I'm promoting them. Sorry, John.
That is totally fine. Whenever you're ready, feel free to start decorum in all required duties.
Okay, it looks like we just are missing one. Bill Irving is the one. But we do have quorum now, so.
Hello.
Hey, John.
Hello, Tina.
Could you help provide some information again for those who just joined us on Tidal?
Absolutely. For those of us who just joined today, we are holding our Planning Commission meeting via Zoom. It would be prudent that anybody not speaking, please keep themselves muted through the duration of the meeting. Everyone of the panelists has the ability to mute and unmute themselves at will. Please unmute yourself before you speak. And if you are sharing your screen, please remember to stop sharing your screen once you are done so that we can have the full group visible once again. Have a great night and thank you very much.
Okay, if everybody's ready, I can call the meeting to order. Is the we don't have Bill's video yet. Bill, do you want to turn your video on? Or do you want to leave it off?
Yeah, just a sec. I'm working on it. Okay. I had a meeting. I'm just getting back, so.
No problem. Yeah. So we'll hold 1 minute before I call the meeting to order.
Okay, let's see. Good. Okay.
Okay. If everybody is ready, I would like to call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Monday, May 18th, 2020. This is our first Zoom Planning Commission meeting. On our agenda after calling to order is the Planning Director's update. So we'll turn it over to Dustin right now. Dustin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. I appreciate you all taking the opportunity and your time to join us in our first ever Zoom meeting and public hearing. This is a step taken by the City of Hood River to limit exposure and the spread of COVID-19, novel coronavirus. So in support of this and our state and federal guidelines for social distancing, this meeting is used and is being held remotely. Our notice of public hearing, as well as our notice to abutting property owners, indicated how to join in and to participate in this meeting via the web or via phone. So there's physical notices at this building, at City Hall, and as well as our correspondence that went out for those who want to participate. Those who receive our on our mailing list for Planning Commission, we're all invited, and they have the opportunity to attend as an attendee. And you will see attendee list and those people who are not panelists over in to the right. So I think most of them have listed their names, which is nice. And we will be able to promote them as speakers if they want to testify and provide opportunity for comment. We can bring them up onto the screen and then return them back to the audience. And that's how we hope to have some real public engagement here. We did recommend, and I guess we can get into the public hearing part, but that's by way of kind of procedural introduction. The first matter on the Planning Director's update was information included in your packet.
I'm not sure if you mentioned that this was being recorded and that the recording will be archived, which is unusual for one of our meetings.
Yeah, thank you. So typically you see us sit with a recorder in place to record the audio. Zoom and this meeting has the opportunity to be recorded. So the video and audio are both being recorded and will be archived at the city for future purposes. So just know you are, your image and likeness are being recorded for this public meeting. So we'll, I don't think any of you can sign waivers. You're all here voluntarily. So, but that's a good, it's a good notice just to know you are being recorded and this will be held at the city. So what I'm moving into the director's update, within your packet, you had some information from me regarding some interim regulations and code updates that are proposed. This included fee in lieu and some commercial rate items. We're not having this on for evidentiary hearing tonight, but since we continued our legislative update, which included fee in lieu and which included some of these parking rates, and we haven't reopened them, I wanted to get just introduce this to you, put it on your radar, and get a date certain to advertise this so that Planning Commission, so I have a quorum, give you some opportunity to look at it and look for a date to where we can repost this and notice it and get it back on the our legislative agenda. I know typically we do this regularly for summer vacation. I think we're gonna have an easier time accommodating that. So this is really just an introduction item. Again, I wasn't looking for evidence or information from anyone at this point. Just really the opportunity to put it on your radar and to have it raised in a future meeting. So if there's a June meeting, Mr. Chair, if you have any meeting dates, or I would like to make sure that we had a quorum to bring this back online.
Great. So usually it would be either the 2nd or 4th, if I'm correct, that'd be June 8th or June 22nd. Will staff be prepared by then? Is there any preparation that's necessary?
Not that we need to up this and would impact those dates. We could be prepared for both those dates.
Okay. Any preference among the panelists for June 8th versus the 22nd? And remember, you're all muted, so you can unmute yourself if you want to say anything.
No it preference.
I thought PC is first and third Mondays, typically. So that would
backwards?
Be the first or the 15th, I think, is what, correct? It's been so long since we've had a meeting. Yeah,
having been on City Council and Planning Commission, I've totally lost track of
that. Yeah, it's first and third.
Today is the third.
First or the 15th.
I would request the 15th just to have everything in order.
Great. So June 15th, how does that work for everybody? Can I get some thumbs up?
Let me see.
I can't see Bill or Erica. So you guys are going to have to either unmute or.
It works for me.
That's yes from Erica and Bill?
Yep, that's fine.
Okay, we got everybody.
Great. So what I will do is you have this. I will post this matter for the 15th so that we have an opportunity and a little notice. It will go back to, if you recall, the 1805 and 1806 notice saying here's the host of legislative changes, and then we will put what the emphasis is on that. So this is a matter that came before you. It took some refinements from the downtown parking study. It went to council, and council requested that Planning Commission start vetting this or further vet this and provide a recommendation.
Great. So we have a specific request from the City Council to look at this. We have a date that we've set of June 15th. And given that I didn't open a hearing, I don't have to continue it, so we can just keep going on the agenda. That's then. I guess I should do the script now. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're ready to jump into the action stage and public hearing stage.
Okay. If everybody is ready, I'm going to jump in right with the script. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to call to order the May 18th, 2020 hearing of the Hood River Planning Commission. My name is Arthur Babbitt. I will be presiding tonight as chair of the Planning Commission. Let me begin with a description of tonight's process and a few disclosures required by state law. First, our function in these land use hearings cases is to review the record for each applicant, for each application, take public testimony in a hearing such as this, and then determine whether the application meets or does not meet the applicable approval criteria in the Hood River Development Code, Comprehensive Plan, and state law. Second, we are required to render an impartial decision on each application. This means we cannot have any personal financial stake or bias that would prevent us from making an impartial decision. Before we begin each item, I will call for disclosure of bias, ex parte contact, or conflict of interest from each commissioner. Anyone in the audience will then have the opportunity to question any of us about these disclosures. Our decisions tonight will be final unless appealed to the City Council. To appeal one of our decisions, you must participate either orally or in writing before the record closes on the item you are interested in. You must raise before us and provide evidence on any issue you wish to preserve for subsequent appeal to the City Council or LUBA, the Land Use Board of Appeals. Once we close the record on the item, that will end your ability to raise new issues or present evidence. Let me describe the order of events for the first hearing on tonight's agenda. One, first we will hear the staff report, which is a verbal rendition of the written report that was issued prior to tonight's hearing. Second, the applicant may present testimony. Third, we will hear from those in favor of the proposal. Then we will take neutral testimony or questions. After that, we will accept testimony from anyone opposed to the proposal. Finally, the applicant has the final right of rebuttal. The applicant has the last word because the applicant has the burden of proving compliance with mandatory approval criteria. After that, we will check to see if staff has any parting comments before following the conclusion of all public testimony. Finally, after everyone interested in these matters has had a chance to testify, we will close the record, deliberate, and may render a decision tonight. Our decision, however, is not final until it is reduced to writing and officially issued. Here are some basic rules for presenting testimony tonight. Only present testimony when you are called on. Begin with your name and mailing address. Please limit your testimony to the applicable approval criteria identified in the staff report. Note that the failure to raise constitutional or other issues related to the proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow us to respond to the issue will preclude an action for damages in circuit court. Finally, we may set time limits on the presentation of testimony tonight, although there is no limitation on written argument that may be submitted. That is by way of procedural introduction for tonight's hearing. If anyone has any questions about the process as we go forward, feel free to ask them during the public testimony portion of the hearing. We will now consider the item on tonight's agenda, a hearing for file number 2019-48, an application by IBC for a planned unit development for 11 townhouses in a C2 zone. Quorum of the Planning Commission is present, and I will now ask all commissioners to disclose any ex parte conflict, conflict of interest, or bias on this matter. So hold on one second while I pull up the right screen here so I can see all of you folks again. Okay, let me, so I'm gonna call on you. I will unmute each of you as I call on you since I can see what I'm doing. Maybe I can't do that. I don't seem to be able to unmute, so I'm gonna call on you and you'll have to unmute yourselves. Sue, do you have any
conflict of interest? No bias, no conflict of interest, no ex parte, no.
Thank you very much. Mark. Mark?
None for me.
Thank you very much. Megan.
Trying to unmute. No.
I unmuted you, Megan. Yep.
Great. No.
Thank you. Tina.
I have none.
And yeah, for some reason, sometimes I'm able to unmute. Oh, okay. Bill.
Yeah, I have none.
I'm not sure if it's taking me time, if it's taking a while before if there's a big lag or if someone else is doing it, but Erica.
Hi, I have none.
Okay, great. And I have none either. So I think I've covered everybody. Did I get everybody, Dustin?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, I just double checking since I have three different screens running at the moment. We've now done the disclosures of ex parte contact, conflict of interest, and bias. Next, I will ask if anyone from the audience would like to question any commissioner on any disclosure of ex parte contact, bias, or conflict of interest, or otherwise challenge the participation of any member of the commission in this matter. So Jonathan, can you unmute the entire audience? Is that how you do it?
Well, we have the audience can raise their, they have a raise their hand feature. If anyone wants to raise their hand, which is an opportunity they have. And so when we ask them to speak, if they want to raise their hand, which is a virtual raising of hands, we will call them and promote them to speakers.
Can you give them instructions on how to raise their hand? I'm not seeing the hand raise. I remember it's a little hard to find on the screen, and each time I have to look for it.
There's a special button that they can use.
You have to open up the participant panel to be able to see it.
Right.
So if you click on participant first at the bottom on the right, you'll see a blue hand.
So it would make me feel a little more comfortable if someone in the audience raised their hand so I would know that that's working. Oh, I see someone raised.
That's us.
Well, that's us. Okay, that was Kevin raising his hand.
There you go. Jonathan has raised his hand.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. So let's, I'm going to click allow to talk. Jonathan, do you actually want to talk or are you just testing it for me?
I believe that was his test.
Okay.
Jonathan, can you just say something so I hear you?
I'm not certain my desktop computer would pick up too well. So I just have two options running on my computer at the same time just to make sure.
Oh, okay. That's you. I'm sorry. I understand.
Yep,
I just,
not a
I
problem.
Thought there was a different Jonathan. Okay, great. Okay, so I'm going to now disable talking for that Jonathan. Okay, so it sounds like we're allowing participation. No one has decided to make any challenge on our disclosures. So next I'm going to ask if anyone from the audience would like to now, would any commission member like to make a motion to disqualify any other commissioner from hearing this application? Does anyone wish to do so? Okay, I'm not seeing any response from the panel. Therefore, I'm going to move on. May we have the staff report, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Last week, you and the applicant were provided a memo dated May 10th, 2020. This is a recital of the applicable criteria in association with this application. Total of 146 pages, which includes 71 pages of findings and approximately 72 pages of applicant materials and referrals and location supporting documents. Again, this request is a conditional use permit because it is a exclusively residential development to be built in a commercial zone. By code, every exclusive residential development within the C2 will be processed as a PUD. And I know there were some questions of why all this work for 11 townhouses? And I think the applicant asked that question as well. That is by code, this is the mandatory process for exclusive residential developments to be built in the C2 zone. So again, it's a planned unit development request. It is a conditional use request. We evaluate this as a preliminary plat in compliance with Title 16, which is the Land Division Code. We review this document under 1703, the uses is permitted, 1704, supplemental regulations, 1707, planned unit developments, 1717, which is the landscape requirements, 1719, townhouse development standards, then 1608 and 1612 for residential, or excuse me, subdivision approvals. The applicant is here to present some testimony. This property is essentially 1/2 acre located on the intersection of Wasco Loop and Wasco Street. It is a vacant piece of parcel, which has been filled in the past. The zoning again is C2 commercial. It's surrounded by commercial property to the south, east, and west with light industrial property to the north. The property and the application was submitted for notice to adjacent property owners within 250 feet. surrounding the property. At this time, we have no written comments or provided comments from those property owners. The application was also submitted to our review agencies, and you have comments from engineering as well as the fire department in your packet. As a part of the development, really within a C2 and within this residential zone, there are no setbacks required except if it was adjacent to a residentially zoned property. The open space requirement is 15%, which is accustomed to or associated with only the conditional use approval. It does not include the 30% planned unit development open space requirement that you customarily see, and that is an explicit exception provided in the zoning code under permitted uses. The property does not have a maximum density of residential. However, it does have a minimum density residential of 11 dwelling units per acre. This means the property would need to yield at a minimum 6 dwelling units in order to comply with the zoning code. With 11 proposed, that's in compliance with the minimum lot standard. Site is characterized with one access point and one curb cut, which was really at the, in order to meet some of the access standards. Wasco Street is a collector street. Its spacing is approximately 300 between curb cuts. So having one curb cut here is not only supported in by way of urban design and allowing the streetscape to be intact, it also limits the conflict points. The property has about 20 feet of slope from north to south. A vast majority of that occurs within the 40 feet of the rear lot line, where the slopes are in excess of 45%. They call it oversteep, which is really kind of on par with good skiing. So that kind of indicates some of the topographical features. Again, there's not a whole lot of way of native vegetation on the site since it's been cleared and filled in the past. The property itself, again, is a request for 11 townhouse development units. They will be divided and sold, I believe, hopefully sold, but they will occur on their individual lots. And that really is kind of a brief introduction. But again, it's not particularly complicated project by way of what's on the ground, but some of the regulatory and entry tickets are really the reason why this has become an increasingly long review and why you have this novella here before you. So without exhausting this, I'd be happy to take questions. I know the applicant's going to fill you in on some information and be happy to walk you through anything you'd like to review.
Hey, Dustin, you said,
Hold on one second, Mark. I just want to make sure. On other Zoom calls I've done, we've looked for people to raise their hands and stuff like that. I don't think we're going to have a ton of interaction on this. It's going to be complicated. So what I suggest is just, if you want to speak, unmute yourself, start talking. If we get a conflict, then we'll sort it out. But go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Dustin, you just mentioned the setback criteria for C or C2. There's no required setbacks except, I thought you said, except for where there's residential adjacent. Is there residential adjacent to this property to the west?
It would be residentially zoned property.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay.
So there is residential development to the west, but it's also in a C2 zone. So therefore, it doesn't trigger that setback requirement.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else have any questions on the staff report?
Yeah, I have one more. Dustin, you mentioned that a notice was sent out and that no responses came back in. I was wondering when the notice was sent out and when responses were due by, or is that, you said nothing has come in yet. Might there be something still coming?
There may. We ask for notices in April, and we usually try to get, it's 20 days notice. I usually try to get them within 2 weeks after they go out, so that I have an opportunity to put them in the packet and provide them to you in advance. At the time of the evaluation, I've got none. Oh, this is a week later, I have none.
Okay.
So I'm I've been waiting. And this is also opportunity. We send notice to the adjacent property owners to attend and participate here. We always like to have, we always try to give advance notice to the applicant and planning commission of what we're hearing. But if people wanted to attend tonight, they would also have the opportunity to speak.
Okay. Yeah, great. Thank you.
So just to clarify that, Dustin, tonight is the last chance to comment on this, right? So we've met the notice requirements. We've met the requirements for taking testimony when we finish this hearing this evening. We don't have to further extend the clock unless there's an evidentiary issue. Is that correct?
Right. The only issue I would expect is if somebody participated tonight and wanted to kind of affirm their standing for an appeal within 12 days. So if we don't hear something tonight, even if it's a procedural issue, somebody would have to raise a procedural aspect to regain their ability to provide public comment after this hearing.
Very well. Any further questions for Dustin concerning the staff report? Okay. Seeing none, I would now open the floor to the applicant. Mike, let me unmute you. Hold on a sec. Come on. Okay, Mike, you are now unmuted and you disappeared. Where'd you go?
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, there you are. You moved to the middle. Your position changed. I hear you now. Thank you. The floor is yours, Mike. Actually, give your name and address for the record to start with, please.
Yep. Mike Kettler, 1040 Multnomah Road. And then you're going to need to screen share. Do you want to do that later?
If you're going to start talking to your screen, then we'll need to get you to screen share. And Jonathan, do you need to do that for him or can he do that himself?
Mike, you should be able to share your own screen.
Yeah. I can start talking and then share in the screen. Kind of like Dustin said, it seems a little bit of a process for what seems pretty simple of a proposed project. Let me share the screen.
Okay, I can see your screen now.
Yeah, I can see it too.
Okay, wonderful. We're basically proposing 11 units that will be sold individually. They'll be kind of a smaller unit. The goal is to keep the price point at kind of a more of an attainable price. We've worked, the concept that you see in front of you is kind of a collaboration of early conversations with engineering, fire, planning to kind of meet the needs, kind of like Dustin was speaking earlier. About some significant complications about Wasco being a collector, the use of the actual, the commercial use itself, but still try to get as high a density as possible to keep the price point down. We tried to do the best we could to create some kind of functional parking space, functional recreational space, whether it be in some of our drawings and renderings. And these are just concept drawings and renderings. It's probably a pretty close, accurate portrayal of what we're going to try to build. Obviously, we get into engineering and there's some things that need to change, but try to do some green space out the back that's, visible and seen, and then try to create space for community garden, try to create some kind of rec space for people living in the units, concealed trash, receptacles. The design and what you see is kind of leaned to make sure we meet the requirements for planning and engineering. Our goal as the developer and builder is just to get maximum density and to try to get a product that can be sold. Our goal is the $299 to $340. We'll see. Please don't quote me on that. But that's the goal, right, is to kind of meet that need of what we need for housing, but yet still create something that is can be individually purchased and owned by the individual, but also still looks appealing, for the community. I don't know if you want to go into more detail or if you have questions or concerns, probably the easiest way to handle it.
Great. Mike, why don't you put the plan view up, and then I'll see if anyone has any questions. Does anyone wish to ask Mike any questions at this point? Okay, Mike, it looks like you got through that without
any. No, I'm sorry. I have a question, Arthur.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. When I was looking at the drawings in the packet, I was trying to understand the parking constraints. And it looked like the standard vehicle length is 19 feet. Is that right? Is that what it was?
Yeah, so we had an engineering
firm. Because it looks so tight. And I was wondering about things like trucks or anything that might be just a little bit bigger. Is that feasible here?
Yes. So Lancaster was our traffic engineer, and they basically did a turning radius on a 26-foot trash truck, making sure that it can move through the radiuses and turn around. So the only kind of dual use purpose is this area here is intended for some rec, but also it's to be unobstructed and no parking for return access. I don't know if my mouse stays in real time.
Nice, yeah, it does.
But
yeah.
So, you know, if this unit here, right, there's enough for two parking spaces here. If this unit, it backs out, that the driveways, the private drive is long enough to host like a full-size truck or, you know, like a Suburban, and still make the turning radius to return and then back up and then to be able to pull forward. So all the exiting from the, you know, development will be forward facing as it leaves Wasco. The only return would be out of these two units into the return space. And then same thing out of these spaces to the forward space. So,
okay.
And that should be, Dustin, if I'm not mistaken, that should be in their packet, right? The Lancaster traffic study.
Yeah, I did see that.
Okay. Yep. Yep. So, and Leonard also, the fire chief, weighed in on that. That was quite a bit of the design that should also be in the packet, that we made sure we met his requirements for emergency access, also for emergency access throughout the rear. So, yeah, it is going to be tight. There's no, you know, like pretending that it's not, you know, but we made sure that we met the requirements for fire department, for the trash, and then for also just every unit access and drivability.
Okay.
Any more questions for Mike?
I'm just curious. I don't know that so this roof water collection detention pond and street water collection detention pond, is that proposed to be underneath the parking pads? You'll have a gravel area. I'm looking at the dotted, right where your mouse is, those gray rectangles or dotted. Yeah. So there's something happening underneath those, because those are solid parking areas, right?
Correct. Yes.
In front of the units. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you'll have a retention pond.
Probably depicts it the best.
Way underneath. Yeah.
That drawing probably depicts it the best. Yeah. So
there we go.
We basically need to collect roof water and detain it. That doesn't need to be treated. So that's why there's different units. And then we also need to collect storm water. That will need to be treated. That'll come off of runoff of the pavement and so forth and existing. So, yeah, the detention pond, because of the size of the property, they'll be actually underground, so under the drive space. So, there'll be culverts throughout this that all the water sheds and works its way to. That then is piped in underneath through the detention, and then it works its way back into the storm through Wasco. So yes, okay. It's not gravel. It's not just like an open filtration pond. It's actually the seismic engineered ponds underneath the solid surface driveway. So that'll be a solid surface driveway, whether it's like asphalt, concrete, and that's how it'll be collected.
Okay.
Mike, is that the diagonal line that's coming across the top? It looks like it's stormwater related also. It says something about overflow, but I couldn't quite read the text. What is that?
Yeah, so that's this right here. So this is an existing unique situation where you've got the hotel dumping all of their stormwater onto our property, and then the mobile home park or trailer park dumping all of their stormwater onto the property. And so it's pretty heavy flow. And it's not in an easement or in any stormwater right now. So what we've proposed to do is to catch and collect the water here in ditches and then and basically put it into like a unique swirl work, like retention culvert that then collects it. And then we'll bring that into an easement here. So we're kind of solving, I'll use the perfect careful word, we're solving a situation that was prior to our development of some stormwater coming onto our property. So we're collecting it and then moving it through. So yeah, that's the reason for this piece here.
Is the riff raff rip rap?
Yes, correct. So okay. It, basically it's an to mitigate the problem, instead of piping it and trying to collect it back on the original owner's property and then pipe it across, what we're going to do is we're going to accept it onto our property coming out of their pipe in an open ditch, which is a little more set up for more success for, keeping it clean, keeping it clear, not having overflow. It's also easier to size it on an engineering standard. So that way, as it comes into an open, and then we'll collect it on our property in a size that we'll contain. So yeah, this is an open exposed riffraff ditch. And it's actually like an engineered ditch that has like runners in it. So if any debris or things get caught in it, they collect in that and then they can be cleaned out periodically.
Right. So it's just the loose stone. I'm not familiar with the riffraff.
Yeah. Yeah. So
if you Google it, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. You might find.
Please don't do that.
In our intention is basically just on a simplistic, stance, it's basically an open swell that the water will pass through freely. And then it has permanent access to be cleaned out at any time if anything clogs or gets in its path.
So Mike, is this what the realtors will market as the whitewater feature?
Yes. That will be the Wasco water feature from here on out.
Excellent. More questions for Mike? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone jumping up and down. I'll give you another chance before we're completely done, but what I'd like to ask for now is whether anyone wishes to testify. Well, we have proponents, neutral, and opposed, but I should probably just take a question as to raise your hand if you intend to testify. And reminder to raise your hand, you click on the participants thing at the bottom of your screen, and then click the raise your hand off to the right. Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone trying to testify. Jonathan, can you verify that you're not seeing anyone either?
You are correct.
Okay, so I must be looking in the right place. In that case, what I'd like to do, so we've done staff report, we've done the applicant's testimony, we've done testimony, and that will put us at staff recap. But before we do staff recap, I just want to ask the panelists again whether anyone has any further questions before Dustin summarizes. Are there any further questions? Okay, in that case, Dustin, Mike, if you could, I was just going to say stop sharing the screen. Thank you. Dustin, there you are. It's kind of funny how everyone keeps moving around. I guess I continue, but Dustin's off on my right now. Dustin, go ahead and give us the recap.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So based on the application materials, you have a recommendation for approval with conditions that would allow 11 townhouse units to be developed, and essentially the configuration as shown here. Again, the entitlement would be for 2 years. Again, it would be a conditional use and plan unit development approval with preliminary plat findings. You have the draft conditions located on page 66 to 71 within your packet. The applicant has seen these before. A lot of them are placeholders and deferrals for engineering. I don't know if I've gotten any feedback from them or whether, I don't believe I've heard any objections to the conditions of approval as shown. And again, we'd be looking for Planning Commission recommendation to approve with conditions as amended or as stated in staff report dated May 10th, 2020.
Great. So what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to start by asking the applicant if there are any questions or problems with any of the conditions of approval that are being proposed. And then I will ask the Planning Commission members if they are satisfied with those conditions or not. So let me start with the applicant. Do you have any questions or comments concerning the conditions that are in the proposed terms specified by the planning department?
I do not have any questions or comments at this moment.
Great. In that case, floor is open to the Planning Commission members. Does anyone have any additional conditions that you think should be placed, or do you have any conditions you would like to remove or to modify?
Looks good here. Nothing.
So Mark said it looks good. I'm seeing lots of, I saw Sue shake her head no. I can't see Bill or Erica, so you're going to have to speak up if you want to say anything. And Tina and Megan have not.
No comments.
For Dustin, if that's okay.
Go ahead, Megan.
On the condition about three long-term and one short-term bike parking spot, how do we define those?
Mute.
Within 1720, they really have to do with how they're covered, whether they're covered, whether they're concealed. Technically, there is opportunity on the backside of all these units to meet and exceed that, but they would have long-term spaces. And that's the one thing that we talked about. They're not necessarily specified as bicycle parking, but there's opportunity for bikes to be located on there. So it's just a part of the code that, and it's actually probably in excess of the code because it's for multifamily development, but I felt that was something that was appropriate for this to be a user that would accommodate active trans. It's getting pretty close to where we see a West Side Trail. If we get things in order, the historic Columbia Highway is going to literally be within, you know, hundreds of feet of this thing. So, I mean, having that bicycle parking wouldn't necessarily require any new infrastructure. I believe off the, I guess it would be the southern elevation in the covered areas where the parking is, they have the opportunity to accommodate. It's just something that I thought should be raised.
So I don't think I followed that response. Are there two separate areas we're talking about? Actually, maybe Mike, if you could respond and explain how the bike parking requirement is met so that I follow it now.
The way we handled it was to create kind of an adequate porch front rear entryway where you'd have each unit delineated where you could present like one or two bikes per unit. And then it wouldn't impact the traffic flow. It wouldn't impact like the access to each person's unit. So we handled it kind of individually for, you could put, you know, two bikes, you could put your, you know, barbecue out there. It'd be an adequate like rear entry space that would be safe that you could present your bike path or not bike path, but bike like lockup or, you know, permanent stall.
Great. Thank you. Any further questions concerning, so we're talking now about the conditions of approval. Tina, go ahead. Tina, you're unmuted, but I don't hear you. Oh, there you
are.
Yeah.
Better?
Oh, yeah, I think your mic was off. Go ahead.
Headphones aren't working well. I know it's in here somewhere because I remember seeing it, but on the sidewalks, how the sidewalks are going to be improved with the bike lanes, was that I'm looking madly for attachment. I think it was attachment D. Can someone direct me to what improvements are going to be made to the streetscape?
Yeah, one minute and I'll get you there.
Good, because I've been scrolling for 5 minutes, so you're ahead of me.
Dustin, can you see my screen? I don't know if it's my time to talk.
Yeah, we see your screen. Thank you, Mike.
Yep.
Does that help you guys? I'll go back on mute, but.
Yeah, so the improvements as shown in Mike's screen include tree lawn and sidewalk. So the sidewalk is shown in the speckle hatch. The parkway and tree lawn is a more uniform greenish dot. Then in the there's a TSP bike lane that is going to be installed, and that's within Wasco. That's within Wasco. So it's not off-street frontage. It is frontage improvements that show up in the existing TSP for markings.
Okay, so that'll be an on-street bike lane, essentially?
Yeah.
Okay, but we do have a separate sidewalk with a divider.
Yep. Detached sidewalk with physically separated by a tree lawn from the street.
Okay. Perfect. And one curb cut coming through, so that's great. Okay. Wonderful.
One curb cut and one ADA ramp.
Oh, great. One question, because these townhouses are right essentially at street frontage, is there going to be any sort of mirror or signage or something? I'm just picturing, because of where the townhouses are, people coming in and out, it's going to be a bit of a blind entry and exit for them. Has there been any thought to ensuring safety of pedestrians on that sidewalk? I don't know what we could do to, you see what I'm saying? Like, if kids are on their bikes on the sidewalk and those townhouses are right up to the street, or maybe they're not, maybe it just looks like it on that first one.
So you're speaking about here. So yeah, there's going to be 10 feet from the porch corner to the sidewalk. So roughly 10 feet plus or minus.
If not more.
Yeah. So between the street and the first unit, there would be, between the bike path, there would be, probably close to 18 feet to the sidewalk, there'd be about 10 feet from the first unit. So,
okay, great. That was my concern.
Car on sidewalk.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. A related question. I'm sorry, this is a collector street, or is it a major collector or minor collector? Dustin, can you comment on that?
It's defined as a neighborhood collector.
Okay, so neighborhood collector, what's the street parking situation on the street?
I don't believe it. Making sure I'm not on mute. In lieu, what you would see is non-street parking, but that's where the bike lane comes in.
Well, that's what I'm trying to understand, because you're talking about a bike lane. there won't be curbside parking because of the bike lane?
I don't believe the bike lane is on and curbside is not on.
Got it. Okay, thank you. Any more questions? We're still talking, just as a reminder, we're talking about conditions of approval. We're getting close to a motion, so this is getting close to the last chance to ask questions or to make proposals for changing conditions of approval, instituting new ones, or removing any. Any issues that anyone has? Okay, seeing none, I'm sorry, hold on one second, I'm just trying to get control back here on my screen. I'm sorry, I need to grab my agenda again. Give me one second, please. Okay, so that completes the staff recap. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to close the hearing. Before I close the hearing, I always want to make sure that everybody understands that when I close the hearing, that ends the opportunity for anyone to add anything. So speak now or forever hold your peace, so to speak. So does anyone wish to say anything or add anything to the record before we close testimony? Okay, seeing none, I don't have a gavel here, but I'm gonna clap my hands. And the record is closed on this matter, and the Planning Commission is now able to deliberate. We have to, we have Sean and Mike are now muted. Thank you. And the planning commissioners, you're feel free to unmute yourself if you want to say anything or if you wish to make a motion.
No issues on my side. Looks like a good project.
Would you like to make a motion, Mark, since you're unmuted?
I will have to pull up the file number. 1948. All right. I make a motion to approve based on the conditions of that are drafted by the staff report for file number 2018-48, IBC Wasco Street Townhomes.
Mark, I think that's 2019-48.
Oh, 2019-48. Correct.
It's been going on for a while, but not that long.
I'll second.
I'm sorry, was that Tina?
Yep.
Okay, so we have a motion by Mark and a second by Tina to accept the staff report and the conditions of approval as proposed with no modifications. I don't think I've ever seen that happen. and I will now, so that's a motion and a second. And now I will take discussion. Does anyone wish to say anything in terms of deliberation on that motion? And I apologize if I have to kind of just wait for a minute, but it, you know, needs to give people a chance to figure out where they are on their screen. Okay, I see no discussion. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to do a roll call vote because otherwise I can't really verify that I've seen who voted yes and no. So let's just get it on the audio. So I'm going to do in the order that I see on my screen, which may not be what you see. Sue, how do you vote?
Yes, I agree.
Thank you. Mark?
I vote yes.
Next would be Megan. How do you vote, Megan?
Yes.
Megan votes yes. Tina, how do you vote?
Yes.
Tina votes yes. Bill Irving, how do you vote?
Yes.
Bill Irving votes yes. Erica, how do you vote?
Yes.
Erica votes yes. Chair votes yes. Motion passes unanimously. So that's the end of my script. So I'm now going to go back to our agenda. Sorry, folks. It's just I've got a few too many apps on my screen right now. So we have approved with conditions the application 2019-48 by Integrity Building and Construction. And as soon as that's prepared by staff, I will sign it on behalf of the Planning Commission. Is there anything else that we have to do for the good of the order? Dustin, I don't see anything on the agenda, but is there anything else that we need to do today?
Just as a reminder, we set up June 15th to hear your those next parking regulations as presented. It's a legislative matter. So if in the meantime, after we get through here, you have questions for me, where did this come from in details? It's not a QJR, so there's no real ex parte communication issue. We'll be taking comments. And if you have questions, just let me know. We'll prepare some additional information for the hearing to come up and some things that we've already heard from council. So I'll come back with some advanced information and some details on the history. Until then,
I just want to say thanks to Mike and Sean for bringing us this project. Good luck with it. Thanks very much.
Yeah, it looks like a wonderful project. It is very good. And thank you to Jonathan for providing our tech. And I know Dustin had to do a fair amount of extra work just to get this hearing to happen online. So it's good to be back doing some business on behalf of the city. Thank you, everybody, and have a good day and stay safe.
All right. Thanks all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you later. Nice job, Megan.